Okay, why don't we we'll get going, and if the others drop in, that's great. So, Sarah, we can kick it off.
All right. Well, it is 7:04. Chairperson Simon. Are you ready to do the roll call?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. It broke up there for a second. That might be my connection, I'm not sure. But ready for roll call.
Okay. Chairman Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy. Commissioner McLean. Can you unmute and just so it gets on the audio?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Roberts, absent. And Commissioner Veazey.
Here.
Okay. Did I pronounce everyone's names correctly? Okay. Thank you. All right. And it looks like we have two of our student commissioners present as well, Ellie and Charlotte.
Okay, perfect. I don't see any public comments. Is anybody on this that I can't see right now?
Nope, it's just the commission.
Okay. So we'll move on to adoption of meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody got a chance to read over the minutes. Is there any questions or comments? Corrections?
I just had a minor correction. I think in at least one place at the very end, my last name is misspelled. So it's just C-H-E-N-G, but I know it's right in other places. So it's not a big deal.
At the very end under roll call.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. I'll make that change.
Okay. Any other changes with the minutes? All right. Does somebody want to move to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Anybody want to second that?
Sure, second.
Okay, let's vote.
All right, Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy is absent. Commissioner McLean.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts is absent. And Commissioner Veazey.
Yes.
All right, motion passes.
I can never get used to parliamentary procedure, no matter how many times we do it. It just seems so goofy. All right, great. Well, let's move on to the commissioner report. So again, as a reminder, commissioner report's really just meant to be kind of an around the room exercise. And if there were meetings you attended, if there were, just anything that has come up that's not necessarily on the agenda or isn't, worthy of an entire agenda discussion, this is the kind of the time to bring it up. And if you have nothing, that is absolutely fine too. So Beth, can we start with you?
Sure. I actually, thanks to Renee Sikla at D90, I have a little report on what's been going on at the schools since I am the liaison to the schools. So happily, the Green for Good committees there are chugging along. At Willard, they have started a Willard Elementary Parent Facebook group to do swaps within their community. And so in October, they're swapping costumes. And I think that's like a new thing they started and seem to especially like doing there at Willard. Lincoln has their traditional focus on waste management, training the third and fourth graders on zero waste lunches and waste sorting. And they are also planning International Walk to School Week, October 4th to October 8th. And they are supporting Native Gardens. And Sarah, by the way, I can forward you the written summary later if that makes it easier for you for minutes. And at Roosevelt, they also have a big continuing focus on promoting zero waste lunches, but it's a little hard to do sorting because students are eating in over 20 different locations throughout the school. They will also be doing the International Walk Bike to School Week, October 4th through the 8th. And then they're continuing to work with Corey Cadlick, the science teacher, to maintain and harvest the native vegetable gardens and plant cold weather crops. They actually have 21 volunteers supporting the gardens, 7 parents, 6 teachers, and 8 students. And they are planning for the 4th annual Community Pumpkin Smash on November 6th. So exciting to hear that green things continue at the schools.
Thanks for getting that update, Beth. Is there stuff we can do to help them out or support them or?
You know, I'll ask Renee. She and I are going to touch base later this week for a little bit more in-depth discussion. I would say that one thing is that I know that Alexis Murphy has been trying to find somebody interested in applying for a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation to support these green assemblies. Have any of you heard of Joey Feinreim? They've been doing it for like the last couple of years, but she's been having trouble finding someone who is interested in pursuing filling out the grant and doing all that. So it hadn't actually occurred to me to, I don't know. I don't know if any of the students maybe are interested in working on that, but she sent out some emails to like the school green teams and apparently hasn't been getting anyone interested in doing it.
So maybe we'll circle back to, you know, I'm also curious from Charlotte and Ellie, you know, what, and we can just, we'll hit you guys on updates, but curious kind of where like the, you know, the green teams are as far as the schools go. So we can get to that in a second. All right, thanks. Anything else, Beth? You good?
That's it.
All right, thank you. Susan?
Okay, I attended the Planet Green August meeting, and increasingly there's participation by municipalities outside of Oak Park and Route 4, so that's kind of encouraging. There was someone from the Maywood Park District who attended. They have some large tracts of land along the prairie path that they're thinking of developing, and Planet Green and 7 Generations Ahead are working with them on that. And then the village, Mindy Creedy from the village of Oak Park reported that the board has approved the funds necessary to contract out for a climate action plan, which they are in the process of putting together, and that they've also approved to staff additional staff members in addition to Mindy. There'll be a sustainability coordinator and a graduate coordinator. So they're expanding their efforts. And then there was also an institutional update from Chris Lindgren from Oak Park Park District. They received a $1.6 million grant for a net zero building for the new rec center that's going to be going up on Madison. And so they're very excited about that. And and then I just want to do a tag on Beth because I'm actually involved with the gardens both at Roosevelt and Lincoln. Yeah, I'm one of the people somewhere. I guess I'm under parent even though I don't have kids at the school. And it's pretty exciting. There's a really nice crop. There's some huge pumpkins and squash, and I encourage everybody to go and take a look at it. They're along the Oak Street raised beds on Oak Street, and. Also, circling back to Lincoln, Alexis Murphy is looking for a very small amount of money to fund some things for the Native Garden on the Park Avenue side, and I don't know if that's something that we would consider. It would not be a tremendous amount of money, but I think some of the volunteers are tired of putting up the money themselves since they do all the work as well.
So I kind of have two questions on that. First of all, you know, one of them is like what is the ask? Because you know we have our own budget, and then of course we have the money coming in from the aggregation. And then from a Sarah standpoint, you know, question, like is there restrictions in like basically, you know, at all? Like can the money leave the village to go to another, you know, nonprofit entity? I would think it could go anywhere, but I want to understand if there are any limitations to that.
There's really no restrictions on that. If we're just talking about the civic contribution funds, I know that the intention was to use those on sustainability projects. So if that's something the commission wants to do, I don't see why that would be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems is that the, unlike at Roosevelt, the Native Garden does not have the backing of the PTO president. So the at Roosevelt, things are being funded through Green for Good, but because Green for Good is a PTO. And the other thing is that the ask is very small. You know, they're looking to buy things like, you know, they want to provide some bird baths and they want the kids to get involved. So they want things like, you know, clay pots and paints and, you know, so I think we're talking about less than $100. So it would really be more of a symbolic, we're behind you. And, you know, we as a village, I don't know if anybody has a chance to see the Native Garden at Lincoln, but it's really quite impressive. It was planted many years ago, and it would just be a way for us to say that we support them beyond words. So I can get a number if that's something that we are open to, but I think just making the offer would go pretty far.
I'm okay with that, Susan. I agree with you. It's just a really nice gesture, and
yeah. And again, I we're not talking thousands. We're talking probably somewhere between $50 and $100. So
yeah, and I, my understanding of our budget currently is it's not fully allocated. So you know, there's money in there.
Okay, I'll get back to Alexis and.
Yeah, cool. She's doing great work there. So
she really is, and she's putting her heart and soul into it. I mean, she's doing a lot of work.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, Susan. Carrie.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I have not done anything. So I'm getting to the point where I know who, we did get a few more families for the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Garden signs. So what I've been doing, you know, the way Lisa had that set up is I would send an email letter out to everyone and rely on them to respond back to see if they were still interested. And as I go past some of these homes, I don't see the signs. So some I've been doing just walking up and down the block where there are some. And so I don't really know, people move, people don't put it out. I don't really know how to get a real concise list. But I did put out the last time in the spring that the block who has the most will have their picture taken and put in the newsletter somewhere. So Sarah, you'd have to help with that. So in the next week or so, I should know who that block is, but I'm sort of relying on the signs on the block and not the people signed up, because I don't think that's really complete. So that's what I'm doing on that. And then I have not done anything more on Veg Out as far as getting more restaurants in or not. My son's getting married next month, so not only with work, but I've been helping them and been busy with that. So I don't really know where that program, where it should go, or what should be done with it. So I don't know as a group we could.
I have some thoughts about that, Carrie, which I can share during my communication education plan portion, and we can discuss it more. Because you did a huge amount of work on that, and I think we need to capitalize on it.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think that's it though for me.
Hey, Gary, did you get a spreadsheet of, for, I'm going back to kind of the Healthy Lawns conversation, mm-hmm. on who, because I know we were tracking it at one point.
No, I have the spreadsheet. And that is that it has the emails, the names, you know, the addresses, all that. And that's where I've been sending out letters. So this year I've sent out two letters and some responses, but more like we're still involved and we're doing it. And Julie Muller, I have to take her off the list because I was wanting to see, but most people do not respond at all. So I don't really know. I don't have a good idea on how to track that. Outside of, if people aren't going to respond, they're not going to respond, right?
Yeah, people are very good at not responding. We almost need to, it seems like, kind of take the winter to figure out like what the best way to roll this out in the spring will be. With being very realistic about the fact that people are not going to respond, and you know, try to engineer something around that fact.
I was doing it because that's how it always was done when I inherited it, whatever last year. So, but it doesn't seem to be working. People don't. And then there's a certain amount of blocks that had a lot of people. I mapped it all out. And then when I actually physically went to go look, I didn't see hardly any signs out. So I don't know if that should be the criteria. I kind of feel like it should be, because if they're not going to put the sign out, I kind of think that they either don't live there anymore or don't want to be part of it. So I don't know. I still have signs and everything. I just haven't gotten a lot of people involved. So I'm not quite sure. And I know we haven't been doing the block parties to even just go and talk to people about it, which is, I think, is maybe a good tactic. It's been a weird, we all know. And so to really communicate with people, it's difficult. So
yeah, it's tough. There was a lot of door to door with this too. So it was very grassroots, which is hard to do in the COVID era. I think you I'm sure have ideas on how maybe this could be more efficient. And, I know you inherited a program and kind of had to, just try to keep it rolling. So maybe for next year, we can make those changes.
You know, I had a lot of high hopes because in the spring we had that unbelievably great Zoom seminar it was so informative and so wonderful. And there were like 40 people there. And via Zoom, but it was so good and so informative and really so much information. I don't know if the library still has it somewhere in their archives. I guess they might, but I really thought that would spring forward a lot of new people, but I think we were just talking to the same people. I think that's
right.
Who's kind of like,
you right. Know, so. We're preaching to the choir. That does happen a lot kind of with some of our efforts.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping that rolling regardless. Anything else on your end, Carrie?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you. Jeff?
Not much to add this month. I think probably still need to connect and help unburden you of some of the energy stuff you've been working on recently. In the news, there's the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, which I think, I'd be interested to read more about. I've seen earmarked some community solar funds and among a lot of other kind of larger scale energy policy in the state, but interested to read more and hopefully have a better readout by next meeting in terms of how it could kind of trickle down and benefit the village and how we should be positioning ourselves to take advantage. I don't know if anyone else has a clearer read thus far. I don't think it's actually been signed yet, has it? But it's been
tomorrow. It gets signed tomorrow. So it'd be great if you could help us sort out the CEJA stuff. For everybody on this call, you all know about it because you read about it and all the same things we do. But to Jeff's point, I actually asked a couple people if they, if they understood what was in it. And it's one of those, this must be how government always works, where, it had so many iterations and it changed so many times and things were added and taken away, even at the last second, that now all the experts need to sit down and sort out what actually happened. So the only thing we know about CEJA is that there's a lot of cool stuff in there, what it is and how it affects us, like what Jeff said, and how that's going to trickle down to our community is totally TBD. So it's going to be really interesting. And yeah, Jeff, it'd be awesome if you could help us figure that out, because there's going to be a lot of money and a lot of programs in there for renewables and gosh, just about everything in our wheelhouse. So
yeah. Yeah, and I know there's, you know, the federal level too, it's probably still some more uncertainty on how long it's going to take to implement any kind of budget, but there's been a lot of talk of additional solar and wind incentives and extensions and additional ones. And so there could be some interplay, I guess, too, between the two, but I guess who knows when when there'd be certain, at least by next month, we should have a pretty good readout of the CEJA.
Cool. All right, it'll be fun to start out, and we're gonna need people's help on that because there's gonna be a lot of elements that touch a lot of the different things we do. I know it's all towards kind of the, you know, the climate action plan, you know, zero, you know, 100% renewable by 2050. And there's steps on the, there's incremental steps in there. It's 25% by 2030. I forget, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but, and I was thinking, you know, when I was thinking about this and, from a climate action plan standpoint, and how we kind of, pivot our charter, you know, to make sure that it dovetails with the CAP, you know, those are the goals essentially for us, you know, that 25% by, you know, whatever, like if our village isn't meeting those, then Illinois is not going to meet those objectives. But there's good stuff in there, you know, coal is essentially going away. So that's just huge. All right, cool. Thanks, Jeff. Sorry, I went on a little tangent there. Ellie?
Haven't done very much outside of tree trails, and that's later on in the agenda. So I will do most of my sharing then.
Can you and Charlotte maybe give us a quick update kind of on what the buzz is at OPRF and kind of what is, you know, is there organized green efforts that are currently going on?
I know that the environmental club is in session every week. I haven't been able to go because it's at the same time as my swim practice, but I'll rejoin after my season ends. If Charlotte is in it, I'm sure that she can tell you about it.
Cool. Unfortunately, I also go to marching band. But I did hear that they, the first week of school, they, went and, gave a public comment to the school board. I don't remember what they were, but they had a lot of them. I thought they were really interesting. So I'll have to... I have friends who are in law to ask them what they asked about. But other right now they've been working on trying to get composting to happen again because that started up OPRF right before quarantine hit. And I think they still have a compost bin, but nobody remembers that it's there or how to use it. So I think they're trying to start promoting that again.
That's cool. Thanks, Charlotte. Let us, for both Ellie and Charlotte, just keep us posted on, you know, if there's things that the commission can do to support some of the efforts, you know, that are going on there. So we'd love to help. All right. Super. I'm going to pass on mine because we have some stuff on the agenda that we'll cover any updates.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
I was speaking to Shannon Roberts this weekend, and one thing she's excited about is the SEC, she feels, is coming close to requiring companies to reveal their carbon emissions. And so there's increased activity of corporations trying to get a hold of those, which is a huge piece of, you know, all of these things that we're talking about, because if companies don't even know what they're emitting, how can we reduce it? So she was very excited about
that. That's awesome. That really is exciting though. I mean,
yeah.
All right, thank you, Susan.
May I also actually add one more thing? Sorry.
Of course, go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to say, I turned my video off because my connection's been bad, but I'm actually got the opportunity. I was invited through It's Our Future to go to Glasgow for the climate summit in November. But I just wanted to let you guys know, because we'll be doing reporting and things like that. And I was gonna reach out to like all the groups that I'm a part of to see if there's anything specific that they wanted, like footage of or anything. So if you guys want any specific footage of anything, just let me know.
That's amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited.
And this year, It's Our Future actually has observer status. Last year, they just kind of went, but this year they can be in the negotiating room. This is something that came up at Planet Green. So
that's amazing.
That's pretty exciting, yeah.
Well, congrats on that, Charlotte. That is awesome.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is next steps on Lakeshore Recycling. /Strom.
Well, I can start that off if you'd like, her.
Go for it.
So I did, thank you, Susan, for sending over the survey. So I have the survey that John Anderson had put together. It looked to me like this is maybe something that had been sent out previously. I found some other iterations of it from other years. And I have everyone's feedback so I can work on incorporating everything. My suggestion would be to launch it as soon as possible. I have a little bit of like a timeline laid out. If, let me pull that up here. So if everyone's okay with that and, maybe not really, you know, I can send out the final product, but maybe not having another meeting to discuss it. I can send it out. We can put it on social media on the 20th and then get it in the e-newsletter that's going out on the 23rd. And then have either a 3 or 4 week turnaround. And then there will be enough time for you guys to discuss, any, basically the community's feedback and how you want that to drive your recommendation to the board at your October meeting. And then the board should be able to consider that recommendation on the 25th of October.
I'll just say that thanks for laying that timeline out. And I know it's in good hands with you. And, you know, I know you need to be able to move quickly on it. I didn't send specific questions because I don't know. I guess that I can't claim to know a lot about the waste management contract, but I would just say use your judgment as you're finalizing it to keep it as simple as possible. It sort of seemed long to me before. And if it was something that was just done before, you know, I don't know. I feel like maybe I'll try to think in a more concentrated way even after this meeting, but I guess it wasn't exactly clear to me whether we would get answers to questions that you needed to guide the negotiation, right? Because if you just ask people in the abstract, you know, are you interested in this service? People are always going to say yes. sort of depends on a lot of factors of how it interrelates. And I don't know how much access you have to, you know, the recordings of the previous meetings when we were discussing the things, the trade-offs that there might be, you know, but certainly one thing that this commission is interested in is finding some way to make compost an opt-out instead of an opt-in. But I don't know how you necessarily exactly phrase that on a survey without it being a leading question. I mean, you know, people need information, like how much is it going to cost, or, you know, do you want to do it this way if it's going to be that. So I haven't spent a lot of time on the details of the survey, so this is kind of rambling, not very helpful answer, but I hope it gives you some guidance.
Well, I think part of my understanding, and again, I'm still trying to just...
You're new to your learning, yeah.
Is that the survey can also give the commission some direction on how happy people, like residents, are generally with mm-hmm. the service from Roystrom, Lakeshore. Mm-hmm. Because I know that there was some discussion about maybe going out for RFP, and the only caution that I would give with that is that once we do that, if the village were to do that, there's no more renegotiating the contract that we currently have. So there's really no telling what, you know, what could be presented with our.
You mean process. Even by Roystrom?
They could certainly submit a new proposal, but there's no telling that they would, you know, stick to what they've been doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so again, I'm not deeply knowledgeable about this area, but I know that Roystrom, they have a long history with the village, and they're more, you know, I don't really know their competitors, right? But if I had to say, as of right now, I would be careful about losing the relationship with them.
John Anderson a couple months ago said that if we wanted to have a Roystrom representative come to one of our meetings to talk about some of their services or other things, has any discussion?
They came. Oh.
Oh, I missed, what?
Sorry, Roystrom did come.
Did I miss that meeting?
You must have missed that meeting.
Oh, okay. Was it last month or the month before?
It was the month before.
Oh, okay.
I think it was George, not Roy.
I think it was, sorry.
Oh, okay.
As well as somebody from Lakeshore.
Mm-hmm. I'll look up those meeting minutes then. I have to confess I did not read the July meeting minutes.
No worries. There would be video of it too if you just wanted to like basically fast forward to that section.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the beginning actually.
Probably just audio, but yeah.
Okay.
So, sir, anything else on this that we need to discuss?
No, I mean, I guess I just need consensus from the commission to go ahead and move forward with launching the survey.
Well, I'll make a motion to launch that survey as soon as possible.
Okay. Second.
All right, wait me just a second here. Okay. Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy is absent. Commissioner McLean?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts is absent. Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Okay, and then just to button this up a little bit, I had a couple other things for the timeline. So I can make sure that gets launched next week. If you wanted to give the residents 3 weeks to respond, my suggestion would be making responses due at noon on October 8th, and then I can get it to you to review the responses over the weekend, and then you can use that to consider whatever recommendation you might be making at your October 12th meeting. Or if you wanted to give the community 4 weeks to respond, then I would suggest moving the next Sustainability Commission meeting to the 19th and then having the survey due on the 15th.
Of October?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. I don't know. I think three weeks is enough. It's a matter of how hard you can push it during those 3 weeks, right? Because it's the kind of thing that either you do it right away or else you just don't. It's, you don't need more time.
I agree with that. Like, either people are going to be engaged or they're not.
Okay. Great. Can I ask if you can just, you know, understanding that we're, you know, that you'll have the judgment to just move ahead, but would you mind sending whatever the most recent version is around after this meeting?
Yes, the most recent version that I have is the one that I think was sent out to everyone for feedback at some point earlier this year.
Right, but then did feedback get incorporated into it?
Not that I could find. So I can work on getting that feedback incorporated and get that out to you guys like on Friday or something. And then you can turn it back around to me by like Sunday evening, and then it can go out on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great, because I think a lot of us have lost track of where it is. A good refresher.
Sarah, do you have that survey from, was it from Lombard, or wasn't there another survey that we were also looking at that was in one of those?
Yes.
Because I remember
I think
the survey
it was LaGrange.
LaGrange, yeah. Because I remember the one that John had done was seemingly very general. And that one from LaGrange seemed to pinpoint some things. But I remember him sending out both to show, like, as an example. And I think a lot of our comments were, well, mine, I know, were sort of relating to that LaGrange survey too. If it gives you some context.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. So, I guess just as I'm incorporating everyone's feedback, is the main purpose to gauge the composting aspect, or residents' overall satisfaction with the with specifically like Roy Strong and Lakeshore?
Well, I certainly wouldn't say that the main thing is the composting, but you had just asked if there were any specific things we wanted to be sure to ask about. I mean, I think it should just inform like the decision making. And it sounds like the first point of decision is it going out for RFP or not? So it is appropriate that there would be, you know, however many questions that are trying to gauge overall satisfaction with Roy Strong. That makes sense to me. And then I feel like there's another section that is about gauging resident interest in specific features or types of services, regardless of who the provider is, right? Like things that residents want from their waste management service, right? Including new things or different things. Does that help?
Yes, yes. Because I did look at the survey already, and I know that there was some, you know, questions about hazardous waste, if people would be interested in that, if they were interested in
electronics.
Everybody just do curbside composting as opposed to, you know, as a sort of give and take thing. So, okay.
But if I'm not mistaken, this came from John. We didn't initiate any kind of survey. He did. So I don't know what his reasonings or thoughts were to do that.
So Carrie's right. Like we caught wind of the survey, and we wanted to make sure that there were some, you know, some of our issues incorporated into that.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what the history of the survey is, but I think that it's been done before.
I mean, it makes sense to get resident input, you know, when a big contract is up for renewal.
Especially something like their garbage services. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the three things which you named, but just to sum it up, are hazardous waste, electronic collection, and the composting.
Okay, great.
From the sustainability standpoint.
Right, on top of whatever else the village wants to inquire about.
Okay, great. Well, I think I have the direction to move forward here, so thank you.
All right, perfect, thank you. All right, anything else on trash? I know this is like our, you know, there was a year where it was chickens, it was bees, now it's trash.
It's only a day that it was chickens, but yes.
That's true. There was a bee season though. All right. Next on the agenda is update on community solar. So last night at the Village Board of Trustees meeting, the resolution passed, which is great news. And you know, thanks to Sarah for you know, she did a great job prepping the trustees on all the information they needed to understand this. So last night, really, there were some questions, but other than that, I think people going in were supportive, and then they voted unanimously to pass it. So to kind of back up for a sec to where we are now on community solar, that was step 4 of 10, was having the village pass that. Now that that's passed, and Sarah, I see your email on sending this to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. I'll do that tomorrow. Now we move on to the additional steps, and we're really gonna need kind of full commission help on this, because there's a lot of work that really needs to be done between now and then, or between now and when we implement this. Now that we have kind of the official village, the official village, I wouldn't say sign off, because there are additional steps that the village is going to have to weigh in on. But now we kind of move on to the all the steps on how are we going to market this. We need to have the village approve the terms and conditions that the residents that participate in this program will be required to agree to. I think that would be the village, and perhaps the village attorney would need to look that over, since it's a contract. And so what I'll do is I will resend out that link to everybody that shows, because this is all on the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus website. Like, there's literally all the steps listed out with all kinds of examples and things like that. But we more or less move into the, how do we want to put this on the websites? How do we want to brand this? What kind of materials do we need produced to, you know, send to residents, both snail mail, digitally, through social media? So there's a lot of coordination that's going to need to happen to get this launched in the next few months. But this was a big step to get past, so that now we can kind of get to work. This had taken, you know, several months to kind of get past this step. So we kind of have to hit the gas now on this. The trustees asked last night, you know, when we thought we could have this implemented by, and I told them, like, the goal would be to have this ready first of the year. I don't think that's unrealistic. A lot of the work has been done by other communities. And we have full access to that with everybody's blessing. So it's not like we need to reinvent the wheel on what the mailing looks like. There's surrounding communities that have done fantastic mailings. They've given them to us and said, have at it. So, you know, I think we will borrow heavily and put our own touch on it and get this launched as soon as we can. What questions do you guys have on this in general?
You know, it would be, I know it's going to be all we can do just to get it launched. It would be interesting to set maybe some sort of very doable goal, like in 2022, how many residents we would like to have sign up for it. I mean, I don't know what kind of track record or success other municipalities have had, so I don't know how to pick a number and you know, based on population as well, but I always find that's like a great motivator, right?
I think that is how we benchmark it, is on, you know, on other communities that have done it. And there's, like, certainly there's big ones, you know, like Oak Park that have done it, but there's also communities similar size to us, especially in the northern suburbs.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at statistics from another community and sort of figure it out on a per capita, you know, basis, right? Because a bigger community is going to have just more people. But if a larger community had a number, then we could sort of prorate it for us, right? Like, we could say, oh, okay, that community got, I have no idea, right? They got 5% of their population to do it or something, you know, like a percentage thing as opposed to an absolute number. I hopefully, like, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus maybe could give you an idea of what is a reasonable goal.
Yeah, let's ask. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't already have that, have their own goals.
Yeah. So like other municipalities that have had it launched for like a year, because I think the first municipalities that did it like fall of 2020 in the course of 12 months, you know, what luck did they have?
So, yeah, no, that's, I totally agree with you on the, like, we need to kind of measure how we're doing on this. Let me quickly read to you guys, I mean, you'll read this yourselves, but like what the next steps are, because they're kind of all over the place. So we passed to the resolution. The next thing is we have to submit an endorsement letter to the Illinois Power Agency. So the IPA is basically the quasi-government agency that oversees, you know, all the solar and things like that. I think the IPA was created basically to manage like renewables and all those types of things. So we have to submit an endorsement letter to the IPA. I don't even know what that means, but like there's lots of information here on how to do it. Step six, request mailing addresses from utility. So we have to then go to ComEd and Sarah, this is where, you know, there was that conversation last night on a different topic about like our ComEd liaison. So we'll tap into that to get this done. And we actually get reimbursed for the expense related to getting that mailing list from ComEd by the Power Bureau, which is great. They did everything they can to make this like, you know, cost neutral for the communities. We have to upload our logo to this website. We have to register as a marketing designee with the IPA. We have to indicate the community solar webpage and the physical address of our municipality that should be listed on postcards of residents. So a lot of this is just like administrative, you know, stuff. We have to edit and approve the direct mailer. We're going to need creative people on this call to help with that. We're going to have to post the CS2 program information on the municipal website. Lots of great examples of Wake Forest, Bannockburn, Deerfield, Northbrook, Skokie, Oak Park, other communities have done that and have done a really good job with that. And then the final step is we start signing up municipal accounts. And they recommend that as like the first way to lead by example is start the program and sign up municipal accounts for this. So that's like accounts that would be served under, you know, commercial rates. Which we don't have much of, actually. That would be like basically the pump house for the village. That's the only place I think we pay for electricity. But like, if this would be awesome, like to have the library sign up immediately, have the park district sign up immediately. Because again, guys, this is cost neutral for them. So it's actually a savings. So that's a great way to kick it off. And that's how they recommend doing it. And at that point, everything will be out to the residents and hopefully people are signing up and we have lots of great information on our website to support it.
What can I ask a question? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, fire away.
I remember we were concerned that residents are going to be confused because there's three now programs on how they can get their electricity, right?
Yeah. There is. It's three.
Okay. So within this, are you going to, is there any kind of education or saying these are the three? I mean, what's the game plan with that? Because I know we were all a little confused.
Oh, and like I'm still confused by some of this. So, and that was actually the trustees had, you know, a lot of their questions were kind of in that same genre. So, the materials that I have access to, like the sample materials, do a really good job explaining it. But I think you're going to have to be the judge of that, right? Like, so we'll have to take a look at these things and figure that out. The way I explained it to the trustees was exactly what you said, is there's now basically, if you throw in just doing nothing, there's really four options for our residents right now. right? And there's from the greenest to, you know, on down, and the greenest is put solar on your roof. You can't, you won't, it's too expensive. Step two, or like, you know, option number two is community solar. Cause that is, you know, where you're buying direct shares in a local solar farm that actually feeds the ComEd system. So that, and then third would be like aggregation or doing it yourself, going, you know, using one of those third party companies to buy credits. And then the, you know, the last thing is don't have to do anything. And by the way, you know, the new legislation that was just passed and is going to be signed tomorrow is going to a little bit upend some of this, because if there are requirements in this legislation to basically green up, you know, just the regular, you know, ComEd or, you know, all the different utilities in Illinois, you know, so if you did nothing, your power supply is going to get greener and greener by the year, because the utilities are now required to do that. So I don't know, there's a lot to it, you know, but like to your point, Carrie, yeah, it's confusing as hell. And you guys should look at these materials and look at it from the perspective as we're all residents. So it's easy to have a perspective as a resident. And we all get questions from neighbors too on all the mailings they get and all the confusion that is out there. So take a look and start thinking about it, because we're very quickly going to get to these steps here where we have to communicate. And I know Beth's been thinking about that for a while as well, on like how do we communicate this, because it's a bit of a beast.
Yeah, one thing I will say, and we can talk about this more later in the education part, is that I started looking at some of those materials and the different municipalities. The part that I still don't feel like I have seen a clear explanation of is if you have both municipal or green aggregation and community solar, you know, how does a person, what choice does a person have? And, you know, how would we want to guide people to choose, because of the whole weirdness?
So we figured that out ish.
Okay.
I just got to get the actual numbers. Like the way that works is that, what do you remember what percent our aggregation is?
You mean what percent of the residents are in it?
No, what percent of like.
It was, you mean the offsets are supposed to be 100% for those participating in the program. Is that what you mean, the offsets?
Yeah. Okay, so I got to get clarity on that, because I didn't think the offsets were 100%.
Not for the village, but for the people in the program. That was
So Beth, I take it back. We didn't figure that out.
Well, it's more like if I was put into municipal aggregation, should I just, well, one, I can't remember if I was or not. So that's the first question that we'll have from people, right? But is if you are in municipal aggregation, can you switch out? Should you switch out? Like I saw some other villages that have both municipal aggregation and community solar, and I didn't see any explanation of how you were supposed to choose which one to do.
I am assuming there's a easy explanation, because actually okay. I take it a step further and say that every single community that is listed as being part of the MC squared program or MS, you know, has an aggregation program.
Right.
So like,
so somebody at the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus has figured this out.
Right, somebody's figured this out. We just don't know the answer to that yet.
So. Okay.
Well, I have a clarifying question that might help us answer this, what we're talking about. So, Eric, you've both said that this is cost neutral and that there's a savings. And I know that we've had different discussions on this. So where has this ended up? Does the participant get a reduction in the cost of?
They do. They get about a 20% reduction in the cost of their
their
supply, right? Not the delivery.
So if we as a commission believe that this is greener, that's a real easy way to guide people, because with the aggregation, the savings is accruing to the village as a whole, and with community solar, it's accruing to them individually. So
and by the way, Susan, the trustees latched onto that right away, which I think is a huge differentiator, right? So the savings are actually going to the residents, which is how it should be.
Right. So it should be. And you know, and I think we don't, I don't think we need to give long explanations. If somebody's going to save money and we believe that it's a greener thing for them to do, that seems like a pretty compelling, you know, argument to just say, you know, if you want to reap these benefits directly, then switch to community solar, which for the reasons that you said, we believe is greener because, you know, these RECs are going not necessarily to Illinois, so they're not necessarily local. And this is a much more direct. And it's also, well, like the RECs, it's encouraging increases in solar developments. So,
and so, I just want to clarify, we're on like a variable rate. Is that the aggregate program?
Or is that no.
different? So that's different, okay. Yeah.
So that's okay. different. So I'm on that too. I'm on a variable rate because I have rooftop solar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a whole nother thing. But by the way, anybody in that program can switch to community solar.
But not to aggregation. You're excluded from aggregation.
That is correct.
I do have a little bit of information because I had the same question if someone can be on both. And I asked MC Squared. And their representative said nothing precludes a resident to be on both programs, but the credit received would not provide the 20% credit or savings that the program provides. So to receive the highest credit, they should be on the ComEd service. And because MC Squared administers both programs, which is actually pretty fortunate for us in this regard, they reach out to the resident directly. And so if somebody is interested in being on community solar, but they're already in the aggregation program, they're supposedly are reaching out to them and asking them if they want to switch their service so that they get the highest credit.
That it is fortunate because, right, they don't lose the business, so they're motivated to you know,
it's my understanding, though, that they reap greater profits from the aggregation as opposed to the community solar, precisely because they're, you know, the participants are getting a 20% reduction. So, of course, they'd rather that you paid the full price and then they use some of that difference to purchase a rec. But, you know, I think this question has come up before and the answer was no. So I think we need to delve into that more deeply.
Right. Good. I was just looking through my notes from the meeting we had in May. And then I have written that if you're in the green aggregation.
Wait, Charlotte, do you want to turn your video off again? Because we can't hear you.
Change in recent months.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, can you repeat the whole thing?
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. So I was saying that did this change in recent months? Because I was looking back from my notes from the meeting we had in May, and then I had written that if you're in the green aggregation program, you need to stay in it or we'd lose the metrics for MC Squared. Did something change between then with their programming?
The question, so I had a sort of a follow-up question to them is how many accounts need to remain in there?
Oh.
They said currently there are about 1,580 accounts in the program and the cutoff is 700.
So if it drops lower though, does it affect that the amount of the rebate or whatever that the village gets?
That would be my guess, yeah.
Okay.
It's proportional to the household.
Okay.
Yeah, this is almost one of those things where like, if we are really good at what we do, we will lose our entire rebate.
Okay.
And we said this from the start, that this that this was something that we could do quickly, but that it was not, it was not the gold standard.
It wasn't the final answer. Yeah, exactly. Like aggregation's great. It was a good little step, but this is where we want people to be.
Okay.
All right, cool. I sent you guys the link that shows like the big checklist of everything that we have left to do. So take a look at that offline. You know, please let me know if you have any comments, and we'll kind of start to workshop this because we have to start working through some of these administrative things. I'll be able to work through fairly easily. The you know, communicating with ComEd and all that stuff, and I'll work with Sarah on that. You know, if you guys could really look at kind of the messaging aspects and the, you know, all those pieces, it would be great, because I think, you know, we're going to need everybody's help and perspective to get this right.
Sarah, on the 1580 households, do you know what percentage of total residential households that is?
I thought it was supposed to be 40% was what their target was.
That sounds right.
There's about approximately 3,000 residences in town.
That's what I thought. 3,000 households.
Residences, yeah.
Okay. Yes to both of those. Any other kind of last comments on this? Okay, it's good stuff. And I think it'll even get more interesting as we figure out what was just in the legislation. Because that's going to help rooftop solar, because we can't forget that that's still option one, even though it's harder to do in River Forest.
And Eric, is that 20% locked in, or is that dependent on the speed with which we get this program off the ground?
So it's almost yes to both. So if we get this done in a reasonable amount of time, we've been told that we will get into, you know, the current program. If for some reason we don't, or something changes on their end, it is possible that we'll be pushed to a different developer, perhaps with a different negotiation that they've done with them. Okay. So the expectation is that it's the current rates. Okay, fantastic. Tree trails.
Ellie, you want to go ahead?
Sure. So I've been in touch with Corey Cadlick from Roosevelt, and he's definitely interested in bringing tree trails back again for his students this year. And he wants to know if it's for sure that we would be able to do the free month of composting for the winter.
Yep, Sarah okayed that.
Okay, so I will let him know. And then I'm supposed to send in a quote unquote hype video for it. And just like me, and doing a little demonstration, so that should be fun to make.
So that sounds great. You know, my only add-on to that was that my suggestion is that we run it for the 2 months of September and October for the village, right? Not just for Mr. Cadlick's class.
Right.
I mean, as it turned out last time, his class was a good chunk of the entries, and therefore, you know, his students had a good chance of winning the prize. But I think that it would be nice to just run it again village-wide. And since, Sarah and Ellie, I'll make sure, but I'm pretty sure I sent like the version that didn't have a date on it. We had the graphic designer take the date off so that it could just be reused and the deadlines could just be stated in the social media or other publicity posts. So that would be my suggestion, if the commission and Ellie concur with that. Sound good to everybody?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so Ellie, if you make that, you know, the hype video, there are like still photos from last year, which we had received permission to put like on the village's social media, and, you know, depending on how good you are at making hype videos, not that I am, but you know, you could maybe put one or two of them in there to show like a finished product or, you know, a kid doing it. But then Sarah, I think we would just, it's, you know, we missed the September monthly issue. And this is where I'm a little unclear on how we're deciding what goes into each month, but There used to be two spots in the monthly newsletter to have two little blurbs on sustainability things, but with the new format, can you only put one thing in the monthly?
Let me pull it up real quick.
I'm not sure.
It's more a character limit than
an item limit.
Items, right.
Okay. Because the new format, it actually seemed like kind of a long piece, but it was on one topic. So Eric, depending what else you know,
if you want to start pre-messaging on the community solar, but I would say let's get it into the monthly of October. And, you know, Sarah, I think you helped with this last year, so we could probably recycle some of the simple little social media posts from last time and just start putting it out in, you know, in the next week or so, because fall is a great time to go out and look at trees, right? So there could be some entries in social media or the weekly newsletters.
So then with our new format for the monthly newsletter, our deadlines got pushed up a couple of weeks for submitting materials.
Okay.
The deadline was yesterday.
Oh, it was for October. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but as we're all sort of acclimating to these new roles, we'll certainly make sure that there's something for sustainability in there. I just need to know what it is and what the content is.
So there was nothing
as soon as possible.
There was nothing planned for the sustainability thing for. Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Well, I can, I don't know if I can get it to you during the day tomorrow, but I could do it tomorrow night and get it to you Thursday. I mean, it should be pretty, you know, I think we'll just recycle some of the stuff from last year, right? Like pull some of the photos from that Tree Trails page. And it's just an announcement really of the, you know, the thing and why it's fun and why to do it. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know, Ellie, when are you going to finish your hype video? We could have a, I don't know if we could have a hyperlink to that. Anyway, I don't want to take everybody's time up with all the details. Ellie and I will follow up with you and get you some content. Great. ASAP.
I'm loving the hype video part of this.
Yes.
I'll definitely send it to everybody. I don't know how good I will be at creating it, but I think it'll be funny.
Either way, you're bringing the hype, and that's all that matters.
And, you know, quickly, the other thing, the e-news will go out on October 1st. So if the deadline for the waste survey is on the 8th,
you should
do that as a second.
Okay.
A second item too.
Okay.
I'll put it in a SurveyMonkey. It'll be really easy for people to use.
Okay, perfect. Okay, anything else Tree Trails wise? Beth, you want to keep rolling with communication?
Sure. I know we're at 8:12 here, and remind me what's on the agenda after this, because I want to. We've been pretty good about finishing.
It's another business. So.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we've been talking about this for months. I've been thinking, and I feel like I really need to just do something, but it's just really hard to get your arms around things. And also, Jeff and, Jeff, you're new, and Carrie, I think you may have heard some of this, but Sarah's new as staff. So I'm not going to run through like the entire PowerPoints that I did before, but I am going to show just some, these are more like bullet point slides, more to organize my thinking. They're not really that developed, but what I guess, hold on, let's see. Okay. So one thing that I realized is I was thinking about this sort of in a vacuum, and I wasn't really wanting to tackle the website, but I think with the community solar thing coming, we're going to have to. And Sarah, one of my questions to you that we can discuss afterwards is, how much flexibility do we have with the formatting on there, and what is your bandwidth for, you know, if we give you the content to, you know, put it up and help us really, because I think that you have some really great ideas. So right now it's called on the website, A Guide to Sustainable Programs. And this is like a subtle shift, but I would like to call it something like A Guide to Sustainable Living, so that it's not all the website content now is this sort of passive description of things, whereas I want to make it more like action oriented. So call it a guide to sustainable living. These are some conceptual things that I have in mind, that it's just this idea of living within our means. We would state on there the big carbon reduction goals we have now, the ones, whatever, Eric, that we would pull from the regional goals. I mean, there've been a lot of different statements of goals, but we might as well as tied to the most recent regional ones. And, you know, maybe a couple sentences about this sustainable mindset about how we live. So that's all kind of like abstract. But then when I talked with Lauren, who is a former commissioner earlier in the summer, she said, well, we should convey that the village cares, that we have a plan and what you can do to help with it. So for the cares thing, I thought it would be nice to change the website so that there's a little section at the top that's kind of like things to feel good about, because all of this is so overwhelming and can be such a downer. And the things that I've listed here are not necessarily the only or the correct things or what, but just I want to publicize the greenhouse gas inventory somehow. It's very technical, but it could be something we say, hey, we're making progress, right? We've assessed our village's emissions. We know where our sources are. You know, we can say we did the green aggregation contract, which reduced our electricity emissions by like, I think it was like half of our electricity emissions, which was like a 25% reduction in our overall emissions, something like that. You know, the village has been paving alleys with permeable pavers, whatever other examples we want to give, but sort of a feel good section. And then I think, you know, we just have to devote a big part to energy, because essentially what we know from the inventory, which matches up with general data, you know, across the country and the globe, if we want to have a big impact on reducing emissions, the main way to do that is through energy. So if you envision like the website, instead of it just having everything about everything, is that we prioritize what information we emphasize. So energy, it has got to sort of occupy a big space, the main space, right? And we can go into the rooftop solar and the community solar is coming and municipal aggregation and whatever else, because we're going to have to devote space to the specific things we have to have about community solar. And then there would be another section on sort of more things that you can do. This is a proposed lineup. Again, it's not every single program that we have, but I feel like the difficulty right now is there's too much to choose from. Yes, I know there's rain barrels and there's LEDs and there's this and there's that. But if I were just trying to get started on doing something, you know, just don't know where I would start. So I feel like if we were to pick certain things, right, like September, October, let's highlight tree trails. December, January, Carrie, you know, maybe we could really emphasize like these 2 months, do veg out and try to capture some statistics so we can say, okay, we had an impact. People did this. March, April, maybe it's native plants, maybe it's healthy lawn, June, July, compost. I just like randomly picked these things. And I left us a gap month in between two to recover and prepare for the publicity for the next month. So we've talked about this idea of a menu, but instead of just having like a big menu and saying, pick whatever we want, we actually try to focus people's attention for select months on certain items. Because we had this problem in the spring, I think, when Lauren's like waste video thing and the veg out and something else, they were like all going on at the same time and we were competing with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So then the last thing is just about the communication channels. I already said the same about organized around prioritized action items. I would love to do more like photos, these mini videos, like the hype thing that Ellie is talking about, because reading a bunch of text is just, it's very boring and it's very impersonal. And the other thing that Lauren had said is she said, well, it would be great to do canvassing because people will really only change their behavior if somebody who they know talks to them about it in a more personal way. But we're not going to do canvassing, one, because of COVID, and two, because it takes way too much manpower. And so I thought that if, you know, especially if the students would like to do a bunch of mini videos around these topics, really short, right? Like maybe like a minute, and you got like a picture of somebody who's doing composting,
that might be a cool way to make it more engaging. And Sarah, again, later I'd have a conversation with you about, I'm sure you've got 90 million things on your plate, so I don't know how much you can help us with the website. And then obviously the other channels, the monthly and the weekly email and the social media. Eventually when the pandemic is gone, I think my original idea was that we would try to reach outside the choir by going and doing presentations if the baseball team is meeting or something like that. But that's not happening right now. And I just realized that we can't not fix the website because it's just kind of, it's sort of a mess right now because originally there was a structure and then it just, this happens to all websites, you know, like moss just kept growing on it, right? There's stuff up there that's outdated or it's not what we want to emphasize, or, you know, one thing gets piled on top of another because we keep trying to bump something up. And so now the menu has too many specific things on it. So that's my spiel, and I would love to know what people think.
Well, thank you for organizing something. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, I think I tried to take into account like some of the feedback from before. And, you know, we could just say, well, we just want a message about community solar, but it's hard to let go of the other stuff, right? So
I think one comment is someone who's relatively new.
Yeah.
As kind of looking at the website compared as you were talking, I didn't know a lot of that stuff was on there. It's like pretty deep into the links. Mm-hmm. And I think you were kind of getting at this too, is kind of surfacing the more important stuff, making it more concise. And so I agree with all that. And I think to the extent it can also, another part about being new to this is recently reading the kind of mission statement for the sustainability committee. So tying kind of like the first couple of bullets you were saying, which were very similar, I think, to what the mission is, but maybe not exactly the same, but mm-hmm. kind of making it tie, not necessarily to like advertise ourselves for the glory, but to show that there's product, there's like things coming out of, there's action like being taken by the village and the committee. And it's kind of tying together with what we're doing, which I think it is, but it's just maybe not clear. If you looked at the website, you might not know still that there was a committee mm-hmm. that made that, so.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, what's a hype video? Is it like I don't even know what a hype video is. Is it really just a video, just a little video? Is it a boomerang video? What is it?
From the impression that I got, it's just a video to get people excited about the project and kind of summarize what it is. And I know Charlotte said that she would love to help in the chat, but I would also. Mm-hmm.
So these videos, I know a lot of the village newsletters comes out via email and not a print copy. So these videos, Sarah, is that something that can be a little click-on link to the electronic newsletters? Like, is this an avenue where people don't have to go to our website too?
You know, I guess it depends on what's hosting the video. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can certainly host them on the website. We've done that before. We just upload it to YouTube and that's fine. We could just direct people directly to YouTube, that works too. They can also be put on social media. But through the newsletter, my recommendation would be either, if we want them to live on the website, we could put them there, link them to the website, because then they get exposure to all the other things that are there. Mm-hmm. But it should be hosted on YouTube. That's the easiest thing for us to do.
Sarah, can you give like just sort of a general sense of, you know, what is the, you know, what's your role and your bandwidth for sort of helping with the website?
Well, right now we are, you know, as I mentioned in my introductory email that I sent you guys last month, I am moving into the Public Works and Development Services Department. So right now we're actually interviewing for a replacement in the administration department.
Okay.
So once that person is hired on, that will, I hesitate to say free up a lot of time for me, but I think that will be helpful for me personally and for just
sure.
all the staff, really.
Sure.
Making updates to the website is fairly straightforward. Really, the thing is generating the content. So that's what I would ask the commission to do, is generate whatever content you are looking for. And I'm happy to put it on the website. That's something that, you know, it doesn't,
okay.
It can be a nice reprieve from some of the other things I'm working on too. So.
Okay, but there might just, it might be helpful to just have like a short initial conversation with you to understand the formatting options seem like really limited and weird right now, like having the menu over on the right-hand side and stuff like that, you know, so we can generate content, but it's important how it's organized and presented, right? So
we can talk about that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And how does that dovetail in with social media? Is your, Beth, was your outline kind of?
Well, I mean, also? I guess the way I think of it is that the website has to be the place where at any time you can get sort of the most comprehensive information, right? And then you would pull out of that and, you know, like in the particular month, if you're doing veg out, well, then that should be highlighted in the what else you can do this month kind of thing. But then there should be a tie-in, right, to also at the same time promoting it in social media or in the monthly e-newsletter. You want all the channels to work together. But basically my suggestion is that we don't try to promote everything all the time, right? That we pick certain things to focus on. So September, October, we're gonna focus on tree trails. And, you know, if people agree with doing veg out next, I think that's a great thing to do, like in the winter holiday months, and try to get people to think about doing other stuff. And so then that would just be the focus. And on the website itself, those things would rotate and all the other stuff would still be there, but it would just be like not so prominent. You know, it's just hard right now to find anything because there's just, I feel like it's comprehensive at the expense of being accessible or at the expense of actually motivating people to do any one thing in particular. It's like passive information. If you want to delve into it and find out all about how to get a rain barrel, you can, but it doesn't, it's not organized as a call to action, I guess is what I would say. Does that make sense? Sort of? Mm-hmm.
Does. Any other comments or feedback for Beth? Yeah, just to pile on what everybody said, thanks for doing this. This was like,
oh, well, you know, say thanks when it gets implemented. I just feel like I've been thinking about it for so long. We need to do something. So, all right. Well, with that kind of general concurrence, then I'll kind of try to take it to the next level of actual implementation as Sarah's time permits.
Awesome. All right. Beautiful. Is there other business?
Anything else in this? I just wanted to ask, is there any update on the electric vehicle charging station?
Yes, thank you for that question. So the update that I have, we have a revised quote and it's just under 25,000. So the grant covers $10,000. There's 15,000 in the civic contribution fund already. So we can certainly get started on this project. We are recommending just doing one station right now. I know there was some discussion about laying the groundwork for a second one without actually purchasing the station just yet. I think that's my understanding. It's about another $5,500 to do that. So And I spoke with Jeff Loster about this, and our recommendation is to just do the one right now and to see how it's utilized.
And then, is it going to be over by Village Hall, or is it going to be by the Platform Tennis? I don't remember.
So it was going to be on Central Avenue, sort of just, what direction is that? Just south of the Village parking lot. So there's some spaces right there that were designated for the project.
Hey, Sarah, does that include signage and striping or anything like that?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
You know, like there were, you know, like the Village sign shop would have to put up, EV parking only, or, you know, there's.
We can do that in-house. We make a lot of those parking signs in-house, so that's not a problem. That $25,000 is kind of the all-in. It's got the bollards and everything, all-in with the exception of the signs, but yeah.
Sure. And from like a, yeah, like is, will the spot, I can't picture the exact spots where they're going to be, but will those spots be reserved for EV charging, or will anyone be able to park there?
My guess would be the expectation is they're reserved.
And they should have a time limit on too, so somebody doesn't park there and, you know, go into Chicago for 10 hours.
Yeah, so we might want to just check on those kinds of details, because the success of it really does depend on, I mean, if it's just a regular parking spot and an EV person can't even park there to charge, then it's not going to get used, stuff like that. But
what's fortunate is it's right along the police station, so it should be very easy to monitor.
I'm sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
I wasn't totally following where you said it was going to be, south of Village Hall.
So along Central, yes, just south of Village Hall. I can pull up a diagram real quick.
Is it those angled spots?
Yes. Yep. It's the one way at that
area. It's the one way angled spots literally on the other side of the parking, the fire parking lot.
So really, if you were going into Village Hall, you would have to really try to park over there, right? I mean, it's... everyone wants to park in those three spaces right out in front, right? Or however many there are. It's around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just right. It's next to the firehouse, but not in the firehouse parking lot.
Here, I have I have it pulled up if you guys want to see.
Yeah, that'd be good. I just pulled it up also.
Okay. Let me find my share screen button. Okay. All right, can you guys see that?
Oh, look at that, you even circled it.
I didn't circle it, but it is circled.
So Sarah, you're saying it would be one of those spots, right?
So it's, I believe it's these two here.
Okay.
So there is.
So even though it's one charger, is it a dual head charger?
It's dual, yes.
Yeah, so that's important for everyone to realize that you can charge two cars at one time.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
When I presented on this to Planet Green, Mark Berger asked me if this was, I believe this was a question, if this was level one or level two?
Level two.
Level two. And what does that mean?
Is that good?
I imagine it has to do with the speed.
It has to do with the amount of power that's going to it. So I believe level two charges it. Oh God, I'd have to look it up, but it's good. Like, it's like you'd, you know, if you put in a home charger, it would be a level two, or one that would be like at a business. Obviously it's nowhere near like a supercharger or a DC fast charger or anything like that.
Level one is faster.
No, level one is slower. Level one is like basically like plugging it into a 120 home outlet or 110 home outlet.
Yeah, I think level two usually has to be 240 volts and like 30 or 40 amps. So it's like, yeah, it's like 5 or 10 times faster than level one.
So is it a charge point, charging station, charge point? Or is, don't know.
I have to look back. I forget at this point.
I think a lot of.
I thought we wanted to do charge point because that's pretty much the standard. in this area. But
they have a really good location guide, like where you can charge, but they also want to get paid.
Yeah, they're basically like for profit. So my guess is we're not putting in a charge point, but that you actually indirectly brought up a good point, which is we need to make sure this charger gets listed. So the ChargePoint app and a bunch of EV charging apps have maps of all the chargers, regardless of whose it is. And we got to make sure it gets on those.
But like, I know in Oak Park, if you're in some of their garages and you're charging, it's free then to charge. You're paying for parking. But, and I don't know if those are charge points or not. But
Sarah, do you have like a spec or anything? Or I have that somewhere. I can try to dig it up.
I mean, I have the model number.
Well, sure. What is it?
Doesn't matter, but.
what's the model number?
It does say the village wants to install one dual charge point bollard mount, CT4021.
Perfect. There you go.
So it would be, it would be really good to be on their map because I know people look for stuff. Yeah. Like
and there's others too. There's apps like PlugShare and things and Google. So Google lists all EV chargers, through their Google map. So we'll have to make sure this stuff all gets listed. I'm hoping that ChargePoint just automatically does it since we bought their thing.
I would think so. there was also a question about annual charges. And the one that I noted was there's some sort of software involved in the cloud plan. And it's included, it's a 5-year subscription. And that's included in that $24,800 quote. And we wouldn't recommend it just to do the annual one. We would expect that it would be there more than 1 year. So
sure.
So do we need to vote on using the aggregation money? Or?
Yeah. Sarah? What is our?
If you want to make it a formal action, that's fine. It's I don't really know that it's necessary, but it's sort of up to you.
The village trustees will have the ultimate say, right? But this could be our recommendation.
Ultimately, and that's a question that I'll have to take back to Lisa Shiner. I don't know that they need to consider this item because it doesn't reach their threshold of expenditures. So their threshold is 20,000. Okay. So it is a $25,000 purchase, but 10,000 is being reimbursed back to us. So I'll check with her how we can move forward with that. But in light of that, that's a good point. Maybe we should just do a formal recommendation.
And my other question, if we are going to vote, is you said that there are sufficient funds in the civic contribution. Mm-hmm. Do you have the total amount that's in it? Like what would this be using it all up?
I don't have the total right now. I can get that to you though. Okay. My understanding is that we are accruing like $3,000 a month or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like it was supposed to be around $30,000. So.
Mm-hmm. So to Susan's point, I think we can do an official recommendation. I think that's good that we get on record and make sure that we support it. And if people don't support it, that they, are on record as well and can people can voice their opinions.
So do you want to formulate that as a motion?
Yeah, so, So the motion would be to approve the use of aggregation funds to pay for the price difference or pay for the difference between the grant? Mm-hmm. Between the grant and the actual cost of the charging station. Is that formulated enough?
That's fine. Someone can say so moved if they don't want to repeat all that.
Second.
So then, Eric, are you the person making the motion then on that?
Yeah, so I'll make a motion on that.
Got it. And I'm sorry, who seconded that? Was that Beth? Carrie
second.
Okay. Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy is absent. Commissioner McLean.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts is absent. Commissioner Vesey.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
So moved. All right, cool. That's great. I think that's good use of our funding, and we're going to keep rebuilding that account to do things. So this will be interesting to see if there's a, you know, the Very Well Guys could not be a market for public EV charging in our village. Everybody that I know that has an EV charger or that has an EV charger at home. So, you know, this will be interesting.
But there's only one way to find out.
That's right. And because of that grant, it made it good value for us to try. So,
well, and I think the idea was that the village would eventually electrify its fleet and maybe be able to use it. So.
Yeah, I did, right. That's what we've talked about from the get-go is that the next car replacements for the village are EVs. In that case, they're going to have to put in a lot more than, you know, a public charger. Just.
So not to prolong the meeting, but I just want to briefly thank Sarah for doing the research about the deadline for the AmeriCorps intern. I know that the deadline has passed, but you know, please keep us posted if you find out that something does open up in October or November, because I think we've basically missed that every year because we just haven't been on top of the deadlines.
Yeah, admittedly, I already had that information because we looked into it for the age-friendly committee too. But
okay.
Yeah, should also be noted that Sarah's doing like 20-hour days because she had to do the entire trustees meeting last night and now this.
Right, so we should let her go. Thank you for spending your evening with us. Exactly.
I make a motion to adjourn then.
Nice, well done. Next meeting, by the way, is October 12th. There's a motion on the table to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we are adjourned at 8:41. Not too bad, guys. Thanks everybody for your time. It's good, great to see everybody. And by the way, we'll make a game time decision on whether we do this in person in October. The trustees are doing it in person and actually is working pretty well. So we might give it a go.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Bye. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye.